Hi, and welcome to Brahma Sports Central, your source for everything Brahma Sports. On today's show, we have Pierce Athletic trainer Sherry Sipka, Roundup Sports editor Mark Gilman, and tennis coach Rajiv Dett. Our first guest joining us in the studio today is Sherry. How are you doing, Sherry?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I just first and foremost want to apologize for the delay there.
But no problem, it happens.
Right, the important thing now is that we are on, and we are live on air, so that's what's important. So Sherry, let's start off by you telling me a little bit about yourself and your job here at Pierce College and what you do for these athletic teams and how vital you are to all the athletic programs here on campus.
Sure. Well, I've been an athletic trainer for about 6-7 years. I've been at Pierce for 4 of them. I actually work most directly with the football team. And athletic trainers, what we do is we care for any athletic injuries that might happen during play. And then we also help prevent injuries. So hopefully we can stop an injury from happening. We deal with anybody from hamstring strains to rolled ankles to post-surgical individuals.
Roughly, I know it varies each day, I'm sure, but roughly, how many players do you treat a day?
It depends on how many teams we actually have in season. During the fall, we have a football team that has upwards of almost 100 players. So we could see between 50 to 60, 70 players a day. In the spring, a little bit less, but generally it's anything from giving them ice to taping ankles, taping wrists, and then doing full-on rehabilitation with the athletes.
So I'm assuming that, the sport that you guys see the most players going for is football, or is...
Generally, yes. Again, football is a fall sport, so we'll see them mostly during the fall. And then come the winter, we'll see a lot of basketball players. And then in the spring, it's usually baseball and softball, and then men's volleyball.
Now, how does it work with players that, they were injured during season, let's say football season that happened in the fall, and then in spring they're still, you know, nursing their injuries? Do they still go in there for treatment, or is it, you know, do they go somewhere else, or how does that work?
Well, generally if they were hurt during the actual season and they're still coming off of that injury, we will continue to see them in the athletic training room. But just according to how the unit or the college works, generally it becomes a PE class once the spring comes around. So most of the time they'll head over to the health center and be seen by the nurse. But they still come in and ask us questions here and there just for some advice, since we're the ones that tend to see them on a regular basis.
And now, I have to ask this question. I've heard a lot about some crazy injuries. You know, some guy going up on a ladder, and next thing you know, he fell off, and you know, his had a fracture in his leg or something like that. Have you seen any freak injuries happen? You know, a guy was walking, just rolled his ankle or something.
Nothing too out of the ordinary, but then again, I'm used to seeing injuries. I've seen lots of broken bones, dislocated joints, elbow dislocations, clavicle fractures. We had a lower leg fracture as well, you know, 2 bones in your lower leg, femur fractures. So sometimes the hamstring strains can be even worse. You get bruising and stuff down your whole leg. So it just depends on how much you enjoy doing your job and what you see and things like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you get a lot of blood from the baseball team after their slides and all that. And
if they actually make it to base, yes.
And how did you get into, you know, being an athletic trainer? You know, did you, you know, grow up and were you an inspired athletic trainer, or did something, you know, motivate you to want to do that, or, you know, how did that come about?
When I was younger, my mom was in the medical field, so I wanted to go into the medical field, and I was living in Florida at the time, and I wanted to become a physical therapist, but they had just changed our program to master's, and I didn't want to go to 6 years, 7 years of school. So I just went into athletic training, and I got my undergrad degree in athletic training, I got my master's in kinesiology, and I've been doing athletic training ever since. And I wasn't really a big athlete when I was younger, but now I participate in marathons and triathlons and do everything to kind of keep myself in shape while I'm helping athletes as well.
Nice. So you can, you know, pass it down. Hey, do this to stay healthy.
And yeah, exactly. Whatnot.
So where did you study and go to school and get your...
My undergrad degree was at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. And then I moved to Tennessee and I went to a small school in Clarksville, Tennessee, and got my master's in kinesiology.
Nice. Now, do you, you know, besides being an athletic trainer on this campus, I know you said you also teach... At CSUN, you're in the kinesiology department, correct?
Yes, I do. They have an athletic training program at Cal State Northridge, and I was asked a few years ago if I would teach one of the classes, and since then I've been teaching a variety of the kines classes, from care and prevention of athletic injuries to therapeutic modalities and biomechanics, medical aspects of injuries, things like that.
What do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy the actual teaching, you know, the inspiring kinesiology majors, or do you actually enjoy, you know, treating the players here on campus?
I actually love everything a lot. I love my job. I love anything about the human body. So any way that I can teach somebody how to take care of themselves, whether it be in class or on the field, that's what I like to do. We actually get athletic training students while they're going through their program. They're required to do hours. So they come to Pierce and they do hours and they get a grade for it. So we have two students right now that are actually in the program. And then we have four students that are trying to get into a program that are helping us out in the athletic training room.
Nice. So kind of like an intern.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Exactly.
What's the aspect you enjoy most, you know, of your jobs, both, you know, the athletic training? I'm sure, you know, in the teaching, it's, you know, teaching them, you know, the different ways of to do things and all that, what to look out for and whatnot. But what do you enjoy most, you know, of being a trainer?
Being an athletic trainer, I love two things. One is I love that I can be outside and see the games and watch games and things like that. But the thing I most enjoy is when someone has gotten hurt and I've done the rehabilitation and everything that goes along with it. And sometimes rehab can last 4 to 6 to 8 months, and actually seeing that person getting back out onto the field, being 100%. And then in the classroom, the thing I love the most is seeing my students be able to take what I'm telling them and teaching them and actually applying it to a situation, and the light bulb, you know, turns on and they understand it.
Now, how did you land this job here at Pierce, and did you just apply for it? Did you know somebody?
Well, there's a famous saying in athletic training, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I actually was working at Long Beach State University, and one of the athletic trainers from Cerritos College told me that there was a position open here, and I called Lenny, the guy that I work with, and he's like, yeah, we have a position open, come on up. And I filled out paperwork, I had an interview, and they picked me.
Nice. Congratulations on that, by
Thank
the
you.
Way. How long have you worked here at Pierce College?
I'm finishing up my fourth year.
Nice. And how about at CSUN? How long have you been working there?
I've been there for 3.
Where else have you worked before? I know you said you worked at
Long Beach State University. I also did a few internships at Austin Peay State University and Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
Now, a question that I'm sure our listeners maybe want to know. How does it differ, you know, the days when it's actually, you have a nice sunny day to opposed to a day like yesterday when it was raining? I'm sure you guys have a much lighter schedule and you're not treating as many players, or is that just me assuming, and you guys do get the same amount of players coming in there to get treated?
It depends on whether in the fall or in the spring. Football is a sport that can be played during snow, rain, hail, everything. Whereas football and baseball, and softball, it's a little bit harder because of the way their field is, so they have to cancel those practices. But for the most part, we usually see a steady stream of athletes in. We have a lot of kids doing post-surgical rehabs right now. That won't change depending on the weather. It does get a little bit lighter when it is raining. But, you know, when football comes around and it's raining, I'm outside regardless, bundled up.
Well, I just wanted to thank you once again, Sherry, for taking the time to come on the show. I know you have a busy schedule today, and I'm sure you do every day. And I'm sure you have players to get to go treat, so I will let you go now. And we'll be right back. We'll take a small break here, and we'll be right back with Roundup editor, sports editor, Mark Gilman. Mark Gilman, how you doing, brother?
Doing all right, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man, myself. Just trying to stay dry out here in this weather.
Yeah, I feel you there.
So, Mark, real quick, let's get your opinion for this past week, and, you know, teams that have been struggling. Baseball, you know, they've been back, you know, 2-1 last week, and so, you know, they're showing some life again. Softball, unfortunately, they dropped that doubleheader Saturday and whatnot. Can you analyze, you know, first, I know you're a baseball guy, so let's start off with baseball. Just analyze, you know, that game and that, you know, Santhon, again, another solid outing for him.
The man's carving, as they say. He's getting inside. He's locating pitches. He's doing what he needs to do. He's playing what they call 9-on-1, making him put the ball in play. you know, unfortunately for him, he's kind of been a hard luck loser here a few times. And actually Saturday, he pitched well enough to win the ball game. Unfortunately, you know, he didn't factor in the decision, but you know, that's the game. The team actually went on to win in extras, and I believe that it's one of those type of wins that kind of – it's a momentum builder. You win a game in extra innings like that where you kind of gave up a lead and you almost gave the game away during, during the regular innings. Took the extra frame. They got a quality W, and, you know, let's see what happens here in the future.
And, you know, it's just really unfortunate. You know, you almost feel bad for the guy, you know, Santhon. The guy is a solid pitcher, definitely the best pitcher on that baseball team bullpen, mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, he goes out there, he's pitched tremendous the whole season. You look at his numbers, his ERA is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He mixes in his pitches, like you were saying. The only thing about him is when he's out there, it's almost like, you know, runs are at a premium. Like, you know, there's really guys, and it's, you know, it's kind of almost ironic that when he's out there, you know, guys don't produce run, that the team doesn't produce runs, because this is really a run producing team. They have the power, they have the speed, you know, they have the athleticism. It's just about putting everything together.
Well, I know sometimes it gets hitters don't like to admit it, you know, they're a rare breed, but sometimes it does get deep down your subconscious. You know you got your horse on the mound. He toes the slab. You usually don't need anything else. You feel like, you might have a tendency to kind of, you know, not have your best approach at the plate. You might take things a little bit for granted. And that's something that will carry over throughout the game. And, you know, when you start struggling, it's hitting's contagious, they say.
Yeah.
And when everyone's not hit, or when one person's not hitting, it has a domino effect.
Now let's move on to one of Santhon's close friend, as he was quoted saying, Travis Forbes, mm-hmm. Catcher mm-hmm. / outfielder, who had recently signed on with Gonzaga University for this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a quality program. I mean, they got him. They said he's going as a catcher, and he has Saturday was the first time he's caught here, and I think since he's been here at Pierce College, It's no easy task. It's something that, you know, you need the reps at, but, you know, I have a feeling he's that kind of athlete that he should pick it up pretty quickly. I mean, Gonzaga, like I said, is a very good program, and they know what they're doing, and they know what they see, and they liked Travis, and, you know, I think he's going to be a valuable asset to that program.
I'm sure you've seen Travis play, you know, last season, a little last season, this season. What are some of his strong suits?
Well, I mean, the man can swing the stick. He's leading the team in batting average right now. I believe he's hitting a shade over .315. You know, the home runs haven't been there yet this year, but, I mean, like I said,
he has no to this point, right?
Right. I mean, the weather's going to warm up. They're using these new bats. You know, I think everyone's making a bigger deal out of the bats than what they should.
It's all about that adjustment is really what needs to.
It's not much. You swing the bat, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's a bat. You know, it's been in your hands. People, they didn't have metal bats here, you know, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Those guys did okay. I mean, so it's just all about adjustments. I mean, you're right, it is about certain adjustments, but at the same time, it's more mental than anything. It's more mental adjustments that these guys need to make. But, you know, like I said, he's a very good athlete, and I think that's the main reason. They can plug him in at catcher. They can throw him in the outfield. I've seen him even play a little third base. The kid can play some ball.
Now I want to get into another one of these notes here on the baseball game. James Wharton, the guy got his first win of the season. You know, pitched the 10th inning and got his first win. This guy's known to be a slugger. You know, what are your thoughts on him getting out there on the mound and, you know, leading this team to victory?
Well, he's a big guy, and he throws Ched. He throws the ball hard. He's your prototypical, you know, 6'3", 2.25 closer.
Yeah.
He gets up there, and he's a fairly intimidating presence when you get on the mound. Those are the type of guys you want closing out ball games, you know, in the later innings. You know, here's the ball, toe the slab, let's go to work.
The intimidating guys, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I want to talk a little bit about softball, and, you know, they've started off the season stronger than they have the past two seasons. Then, unfortunately, now it's been a straight mudslide, and it looks like they're just free-falling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That doubleheader lost game one, 2-1. It was close.
Yeah.
But then game two, things just got out of hand. They got shut out, and not only that, but they allowed 8 runs. What do you think about that? And do you see this team coming back this season, or you think that, you know, they're at that point where they've lost pretty much, you know, just motivation?
Well,
I mean, you hate to say that, but in a way, this team looks like, you know, now they're just playing to play and just end the season and want to end it as quick as they can.
Well, that might be the case. That all depends on the coaches, to be perfectly honest with you. Have they mailed it in? Like I said, that's only up to them. You have to talk to them to really kind of figure that out. But at the same time, I've been on teams that, you know, didn't have as much success as we had hoped for. These girls started out, you know, they won, I believe, you know, 5 of their first 11. And so there was some hope there, you know, oh, we might make the playoffs. We could do this. We could challenge. We could be a threat. And now everything's kind of snowballing one thing after another. And then it's kind of like, well, now we're 6-14. And what's next? And, you know, there's no real light at the end of the tunnel now.
It's like, you know, all their playoff dreams and hopes have just diminished just
they're gone.
Yeah.
Let's be real, they're gone.
Yeah, but I mean, definitely, you know, an improvement from the past two seasons. I mean, last season, no wins.
No, absolutely. I mean, not to take anything away from them in that aspect. They have made some improvements, but, you know.
And, you know, I've actually spoke to, you know, Coach Grennan, and, you know, he seems to be, like, you know, a really nice guy, really, really cool. Just, you know, I'm sure he's a cool coach. I've spoken to a couple of the players. They like him. At this point, it's more like I really doubt it's the coaching, because the coaching's there. Even, you know, I read one of the articles in a roundup earlier in the season. Actually, one of the players, I believe it was Andrea Sixto, she was actually praising one of the new coaches that just came on board recently.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's like I say, it might not be the coaches. It usually just comes down flat out, you know, your resources, your players.
Yeah.
Especially at this level, it's such a quick turnaround. It depends on who you got.
Yeah.
And if you know, you're only as good as your recruiting class. Talk to any coach that's ever been let go. They're like, well, you know, if you don't allow me the necessary resources to get certain players here or go out and recruit a little bit more, then, you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah. I totally feel you on that, man. But once again, Mark, pleasure to have you in the studio, buddy, and I look forward to having you again down the road here. Hopefully we can talk about baseball going to the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, thanks a lot for coming on once again. And we'll go on a quick break, and we'll be back with the Stampede segment and Coach Det, head coach of the tennis team.
Go Giants.
Welcome back to Brahma Sports Centro. And now we're going to go into the Stampede segment, where I have a minute to give you a recap of the past week in Brahma Sports. Baseball defeated the Citrus College Owls 4-3 in extra innings. After giving up the lead in the ninth, Santon threw 9 innings, allowing 3 runs, one earned run on 9 hits while punching out 7. Softball lost the doubleheader on the road against Ventura College Saturday. They lost game 1 2-1 and game 2 8-0. Men's volleyball lost on the road to El Camino College 3-2. The loss ends the Brahmas' 3-game losing streak and brings their overall record to 8-3. Swimming split the women's and men's competition against Valley College. The men lost 125-98, while the women won 168-56. Samantha Elam won her three events. Tennis lost 6-3 against Amherst College Friday at Pierce. And now, speaking about tennis, we have live in the studio Coach Rajiv. How you doing, Coach?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm doing well, too. Thank you.
All right.
So let's get into your last match. Let's start off with that. What went wrong on Friday against Amherst?
I don't think anything went wrong. I mean, they're ranked number 2 in the nation in D3. You know, we're a junior college, so this was more of an effort to expose my guys to, you know, a 4-year school and hopefully open their eyes as to what they need to do to prepare to get to the next level. I mean, when I played here at Pierce, I'm not even going to mention how many years ago, you know, Coach Xanthos used to set up practice matches against UCLA and Cal Lutheran. So, you know, I'm trying to fill some large shoes and trying to do similar things as Coach Xanthos did.
And, I mean, Coach Santos now is a legend and inducted to the Pierce Hall of Fame and all that good stuff. So, hey, if you get, you know, half as good as he was, I'm sure you won't do bad.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed, man.
Now, what kind of experience was it for your players in, you know, that tough match? And, you know, what did they learn? And
well, you know, the bottom line is for the majority of this season, we've been playing without Daniel Buesenhart, who's one of our top six players. You know, you've seen our record. It's almost every match that we've lost 5-4. And it's essentially because I've been having to play guys up. Now, you know, I'm about to get Busey back, hopefully by the North-South tournament, which is going to be taking place this coming weekend. And, you know, the whole complexion of the team changes when you have a guy that's part of your backbone, you know. So I think all the guys are going to be going into the rest of the season with a lot more confidence, knowing that, you know, they're not going to feel as much pressure, knowing they've got a good player back in the lineup.
So Busey, part of that structure we're talking about, that main structure, mm-hmm. has 6 games to show what he's got. Now, 6 games left in the season.
Yeah, but you know, we've also got the Ojai tournament, which is for the West Coast. That's the equivalent of winning Wimbledon for someone. You know, Ojai's coming up. The conference tournament's coming up. We got regionals. We got state. I mean, this I got the horses in the stable, man. I mean, so once all of them are on the track, it's gonna be a good show.
Yeah. So when is this Ojai tournament and where does it take place?
Ojai starts April 28th, and all schools are allowed to enter 2 singles and 2 doubles players. My number one guy, Moises Cardenas, and my number two, David Engelberg, I'm looking for them to do a lot of damage. I think Moises is a good contender to, you know, I don't want to jinx it and say win the tournament, but both these guys are going to go deep. You know, Sean Doulahan, and you know, big serve. He and whoever he plays doubles with, they're going to make an impact. So, you know, I'm looking at 2 singles and 2 doubles going deep in both draws.
And you were talking there about Engelberg. He's actually one of the Brahmas of the week last week for the roundup.
He is. He's. I'm really proud. I'm proud of this guy. I mean, I'm proud of all my players. You know, it's like these are all like adopted sons to me. You know, you know, I'm incredibly proud of all of them. But Engelberg's going to go a long ways. I mean, he's playing with an injured left wrist, so he can't really use his two-handed backhand. And still, if you look at the kid's record, you know, he beat Ventura's number one, who their coach played down at 2. You know, don't ask me why, but either way, I mean, Engelberg still beat him.
Yeah.
You know, without a two-handed backhand, so it's pretty impressive. The kid's got moxie.
That's really impressive, especially when you talk about, you know, just anything in the wrist, arm area, hand, especially when it comes to tennis. You need that stroke, and I'm sure. So
yeah,
that's really impressive. Now, who's been? Have you had like any players this season that they've been like, you know, the surprise? You did expect something out of them, but maybe you didn't think that they would blossom into what they become now or something.
Absolutely. Nathan Crosby, right? This kid shows up out of the blue last semester for my conditioning class. You know, he looks more like, a player from that movie 8 Mile. You know, I expected him to bust out in a rap or something. You know, he had the baggy jeans. You know, he's got the Raiders outfit. You know, I'm thinking, okay, well, I need to see you in Venice playing basketball and not on a tennis court. This kid came out like gangbusters. He's got one of the best records on the team. He's proved himself. He's one of my legit top 6. I couldn't be happier. And, I mean, he keeps all of us entertained. Totally positive attitude, you know, is a good influence on everybody else, makes them stay positive too. I couldn't ask for more.
Fits right in, huh?
Right there, yeah.
So, I mean, baggy jeans, you know, I never seen a tennis player in baggy jeans or like, you know, the Raiders outfit like you described it. I usually see, you know, the guys clean cut, you know, all fitted with their nice outfits, whether it be slacks or, you know, a nice polo or something like that.
It's a new generation, my friend.
I mean, did you ever wear any baggy jeans in your tennis playing days?
You know, I came up in L.A., so I grew up listening to hip-hop and whatnot, so yes, I did.
But this guy Crosby, definitely a surprise for you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't think he was a tennis player. I just thought he was coming up, you know, walking up to me, asking me for directions to somewhere to go. And then, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm here to play. I want to add your class. I was like, okay, come on down.
So what perception did the rest of the team get, you know, of him? You know, did he fit right in from the beginning, or was there kind of like...
Yeah, yeah, totally. You know, I mean, I tend not to carry... guys that aren't open-minded, and that's an example of me where I was, you know, judging the book by the cover.
Yeah.
And that's definitely taught me not to do so, because you know, he's been an incredibly pleasant surprise. But yeah, I mean, this team, you know, in 2008 we went really deep. We were the number 8 seeds going into the regional tournament, and this team, they are gelling better than that team did. They all get along well, and you know, I think if we're fortunate enough to make the team playoffs, we'll do even better than that 08 team. You know, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
So definitely this team shows a lot of potential. It's just about putting all that in actual play, and you know, everything clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, it's just a matter of a few of my guys believing that they're as good as I believe they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm hoping they'll take my word for it, because I've been coaching longer than some of them have been alive.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And we were talking a little bit about Paul Santos,
uh-huh.
Your ex-coach. What do you, like, try to implement anything that he taught you guys, the way he coached, into your coaching? And, you know, did he also motivate you to become a coach?
He didn't actually motivate me to become a coach. I mean, before I met him, I knew I was going to be doing this.
Yeah.
But I think what I aspire towards every week, and it's amazing, because last week I was telling some of the guys how I really regret not picking his brain more when he was alive. You know, like I said, incredibly large shoes to fill, and, you know, he just had a way with players. I don't think as a player for him, I had nearly the amount of respect I do for him as I do now as a coach. And, you know, we all say that in retrospect, but I think what I aspire towards is trying to be more patient and seeing it from the kid's point of view, you know. Because it's different. It's more than 20 years later. There's financial pressures on all these kids. A lot of them have to have jobs and help out at home and have that balance of making their grades, you know, and taking care of whatever sport, not just tennis, but, you know, all these student athletes. Man, bravo and kudos to them, because, you know, all of them are carrying a large load. And, you know, there's expectations not just from themselves, but from their family and from their coaches and their teachers. And
even their peers and all that.
Everyone, man. I mean, everyone looks up to the student athlete. And, you know, some of the kids aspire to be like them. So, you know, all I can say is I tip my hat to all of them.
Yeah. And now let's get in a little bit into your next match against Santa Barbara. That'll be on Thursday.
Yeah.
Here at Pierce, what do you see transpiring in that game, and, you know, what's going to be your strategy for that game?
Well, you know, the first time we played them at Santa Barbara. We didn't have Boosie in the lineup, and we still beat them 6-3. Their number one guy, Ivanov, was in the lineup, and Cardenas, our number one, beat him 6-3 in the first set. I won the first point in the second set, and Ivanov walked up to the court, to the net, shook his hand, and said, "I'm done." From what I've seen in their roster, Ivanov's not even in it anymore. I don't know if he's being sat down or punished, or if he's walked off the team. I don't know what's going on. But without him and Boosie in our lineup, I think the score is going to be a lot it's going to be a lot better in our favor this time.
Yeah, and last game you did win 6-3, so definitely if you if that's the case, I do definitely do see some positive side there and some upside for your team.
For sure.
And definitely hope that that comes out just like you said, and everything turns out to play out good for you guys on Thursday. And thanks for coming on the show, Coach. And I definitely look forward to having you anytime. You're welcome to come back. And good luck on you to, on your next game and all your games remaining in the season.
I appreciate that. And thanks for being such a great host. You got a good show, and I'll make sure all my guys listen.
Great. Thanks a lot, Coach. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay. Now we're getting in real quick to the upcoming games this week. Like we just said, tennis will play Thursday here at Pierce against Santa Barbara. That start time for that is 2 p.m. Baseball will play today against Bakersfield at 2:30 p.m. Men's volleyball plays Friday at Long Beach at 6 p.m. Softball has a game today at against Oxnard, which was rained out. Their next game will be on Thursday at Pierce against Moore Park. Swim will meet on Friday at Bakersfield against Cuesta. I am Brian Malara for Brahma Sports Central. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week every Tuesday from noon to 1. Adios.